Hoyer, in his 13th year out of Michigan State, takes a knee. Bill Belichick has finally beaten Mike Vrabel. Final score, New England Patriots 36, Tennessee Titans 13.
J. Martin Animal, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Final hour of the show. Get your fours up. Fourth quarter underway. Here are the fastest 4 hours in radio. Ramon Foster, Jonathan Schaefer, along with me, Will Bowling, as the Titans fall 36-13 to the New England Patriots. Ryan Tannehill, 93 yards through the air. Mac Jones, he was good. 310 yards. Titans ran for 270, had two guys over 100, could not get the win, and they were overmatched from the start. Four more turnovers. The bye week could not have come at a better time, and coming up here in 15 minutes, we will chat with Teresa Walker of the Associated Press and get her biggest takeaways going into the bye week out of the loss in New England. Ramon, you said all last week, you said it today, there's something different about going to New England and ways that defense manipulates you into feeling a false sense of hope and then just kind of takes your soul in the second half, and that's exactly what they did.
That's exactly what they did. Allowed you to rush for that many yards, which is outside of the things that they normally do. They took away the run game. They made you turn the ball over when you ran the ball also. And in the short red zone, they held you. No scores in the second half for the Titans, man. And, again, it was also coupled with bad tackling on the long receiving touchdown that the Patriots had. Just not breakups on the ball when it was in your specific area defensively. And getting pressure on the quarterback didn't bode well for Ryan Tannehill. So, again, that conversation about the draft, as far as offensive linemen finally hitting you, I think yesterday was a realization that it could be a long road unless, listeners, this offseason you do what the Patriots did. And that's go shopping. Black Friday, Cyber Monday shopping.
It is Cyber Monday today.
Or free agency. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the offseason. Like, that's where you are. You're cyber shopping in this offseason to rebuild. I ain't going to say rebuild this team, but to find some parts that's going to stick.
Matt Judon had a sack on the third play of the game.
He did.
Biggest offseason acquisition probably in the whole NFL this past year.
I mean, I thought Kendall Lamb would play a bigger part in this offense at some point,
too.
And I know Lawan is back and Questenberry is over on the right side, but he's a utility guy. And I think he's on IR at this point, too. But nothing's stuck. How many games has Julio played?
Oh, Julio was out for... Been out for these past three on IR. The one game before that, that's four. I want to say he's played six games.
If that, and came out early in a few. Came out early, Kansas City.
Yeah.
If he played Kansas City, longest game he's played in was Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah. 615-737-1045, our number. Yeah, Julio is a guy that you need to get back. You need to get back in the swing of things. Because, look, you draft a player, you sign a player for the playoff run and for December, January, and hopefully February. Mm-hmm. Right? When you bring in a guy like Julio Jones, you know that he's not going to give you the efficiency over the course of a 17-game season that he's given the Falcons in his 20s.
Yeah.
Right? You draft him to make a big catch when last season, no disrespect to the guy I'm about to call out, last season against the Ravens on the pass Ryan Tannehill's intercepted on to end the season, he's targeting Khalif Raymond down the field because he's got guys injured. And that right there was circled by Titans fans and by the Titans front office over the entire offseason saying, we can't be targeting Khalif Raymond on a play you have to have on a fourth down in a playoff game at home in order to get a win. You target a guy like Julio. There are some veterans, Ramon, and you know this better than anybody. You bring them in knowing that fans are going to be kind of out on them going into December and going into the postseason. But you didn't sign them for August, September, and October. You signed Julio Jones to win you games in the playoffs and win when it counts.
Yeah.
And that opportunity is still well in reach for him.
It is. And I want you to get to your college take here in a second, too, before the queen comes on. But I like the Titans being able to release guys when they ask. But Josh Reynolds could be used right now.
Josh Reynolds looked pretty good Thursday. Touchdown pass for the Lions against the Bears. Oh, my.
Again, some of these free agents and draft picks have to start sticking.
Yeah.
Even in my short tenure of covering this team, that's been a common trend, though, too, Will.
Right. 615-737-1045, our number. Before the break, Ramon, we're talking about Tennessee, Oklahoma, and how Josh Heupel could Kiffin the Vols, something that we don't see happening this year. But still a concern for Tennessee fans that are really never surprised by anything these days. But you were talking about Lincoln Riley trying to avoid the SEC and going to the Pac-12, saying he didn't want the smoke of the SEC. And my response to that is that I don't think college football coaches are real people. This is what I mean by this. Avoiding the SEC and running away is something a normal person would do. That's a logical decision. Logical. If I'm thinking to myself, all right, I got smoked by every SEC team that I've met in the playoffs. Obviously, Baker Mayfield was close in the Rose Bowl against Georgia.
And if he comes to the SEC and he's on the west side, he's got to see LSU, Alabama,
right.
Ole Miss. Yeah.
I don't think college football coaches who are toxic alpha mentality recruiters always being salespeople, I don't think they think like that. Like, I think the young up-and-coming football coach is thinking, no, I'm going to be the one to change that. I'm going to be the one to beat the best coach in the history of college football. And I think instead of him running away from the SEC, this is Lincoln Riley saying, my legacy is going to be bringing back a sleeping giant in USC because my ceiling there is higher than it's going to be somewhere else. I think it's more about having a complete legacy at a place that has been worse, where you are the guy in the last 15 years.
It's an opportunist.
If you go win at LSU, you still are going to a program that won a national championship 2 years ago, and Joe Burrow and Coach O, and there has been success there within the past decade. You go to USC, your legacy is making USC USC again, and being Pete Carroll, and giving yourself, like Pete Carroll did, a platform to go coach in the NFL from the job at USC. I don't think coaches like this are thinking about what's the worst case scenario if I crash and burn? Because people who are always selling themselves, selling their products, selling their programs, they are alpha maniacs that aren't like us. Fair?
Fair. I give you that.
I mean, you were a pro athlete, obviously, so you're kind of not like me either. But
I'm looking at it as...
You have been inside these locker rooms more than I have. So if I'm way off here, then tell me.
I don't think you're way off.
Okay.
I can see that point. You made a really good point. I got to give you that one. And saying, look, he can rebuild USC and be invincible
right
from there on out. If he did take the LSU job, you're right. I mean, they've had, what, Les Miles. It's also, I mean, Ed Orgeron did it as far as winning natties. That's a great point. I just looked at it as if me saying he's dodging the SEC is there's nobody in the Pac-12. I think the Pac-12 need Lincoln Riley.
I hate
to say that. I think they need him. So that ego that you speak of is probably what feeds the beast when it comes down to him completing and doing his job.
Sure.
I just find it comical to all the guys that transferred from us, and I'm not going to knock those kids, but they're coming back to this organization. They're coming back to the SEC, first off. And secondly, your coach left you. So the transfer portal. I'm sure we'll have you on, and we can discuss that too, because you're big into it the way I am also as far as – But did you know this, by the way, speaking of that transfer portal and what coaches can and can't do moving forward and what Tennessee should be doing, there's over 2,000 student athletes in the transfer portal right now.
It's a crazy amount of supply and demand.
This is what happens when you think that you are the show everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these guys, I'm sure, probably, and I was a 3-star, let me preface by saying that, guys that were probably last scholarship offers.
3 more stars than me.
I mean, but there were probably, you know what I'm saying, like the last minute offer guys, and they got bad info. And can you, 2,000 players are in the transfer portal right now with nowhere to go. Hard times are real for those dudes, man.
Tyon Evans, one of those, coming from Tennessee again. Guy that had ankle injuries all year, rushed for just around 600 yards, but enters the transfer portal on Friday before Tennessee's win over Vanderbilt. Rumors that Tennessee could be in for Georgia Tech's running back. Not confirmed yet officially either way, but I think that's where Josh Heupel is going to add a lot of the pieces that he is trying to add for next year's team is in the transfer portal.
Yeah, he has to.
He's recruiting there more than he's recruiting high schoolers, at least more successfully.
Yeah, he has. But the Lincoln Riley thing, You make a good point on that one. I just, as far as I'm not being real, people, Ron said he was waiting to see your answer on college coaches aren't real. You saying their ego is more real than the person is.
I just think they are more alpha mentality. It's kind of a toxic alpha mentality.
Yeah.
That normal people like me talking into a microphone can't relate to and can't put themselves in that.
So you're saying a normal person wouldn't tweet out license plate from Louisiana? Like Lane Kiffin did this past weekend.
More out-of-pocket tweeting this weekend. Vanderbilt football or Lane Kiffin?
Can we say tie?
Yes, we can.
Okay, that's a tie.
We can.
Yes!
We make the rules here. Lane Kiffin tweeting a Louisiana license plate right after Lincoln Riley left and after Billy Napier left for Florida, which we have not mentioned yet.
And what will be the end results of this from Lane?
From Lane, I think he's either going to Miami or he's staying at Ole Miss.
I don't know, but I can tell Lane what he can do with that golf ball.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I don't even want to speculate what your mind takes. But it'll probably
be transfer portal.
Well, yeah. It'll probably be a transfer portal phrasing. It'll probably be phrasing? A pay raise. It'll be a pay raise. But
he's going to get paid. Heupel's going to get paid, too, by Tennessee.
Because of the want and need.
Absolutely. Supply and demand. Makes the world go around. Coming up next, we talk with the GOAT, Teresa Walker of the Associated Press, talking Titans, maybe throw in a little bit of reaction from Tennessee and Vanderbilt at the end as well. We'll hit it all. Teresa Walker of the Associated Press coming up next. It's J-Mart and Ramon, powered by All Four Seasons on 104.5 The Zone.
You know, we've lost two games in a row. You know, we've lost two games in a row. We lost at home, came on the road, and played very competitively for the first half. And they're disappointed. And obviously the way that the game went in the second half, you know, a lot of these guys have, been grinding through, pushing through. So a lot to do with, mental health of just dealing with injuries and dealing with things. This is a good time for us all to reset.
J-Mart and Ramon, powered by All Four Seasons here on 104.5 The Zone. Ramon Foster and Will Bowling back with you. Jonathan Schaefer, our producer, as you hear Mike Vrabel recap a 36-13 loss, the second straight defeat for the Tennessee Titans. Pleased to be joined on the Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline by Teresa Walker, good friend of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa, how are you this morning? Good to talk to you.
Well, I'm doing well, far better than the Tennessee Titans. And let's just say that, the fact that this team finally is at the bye is probably the biggest blessing for this team at this very moment.
Yeah.
Teresa, I think you're exactly right, because usually Titans fans at this point are kind of grumbling of, no football this weekend. You know, the bye week is boring. You got to do chores around the house and whatnot. But I think Titans fans have never been happier, at least in what I can remember, to have a bye week this weekend. The only way it could have been better is if it came about 2 or 3 weeks ago and not now.
Well, yes, but here's the thing. It's almost like a little preview of Christmas with this bye, because after the bye, there's a couple guys who could maybe be activated before the Jaguars game. We're talking Julio Jones, Dan Cruikshank, and then the next week before they go to Pittsburgh, I think Bud Dupree could be activated by then. And then when you get ready for Christmas, the 49ers game, then you could have A.J. Brown coming back potentially. We're almost maybe at a point in the season where, some of these guys start coming back. And, and let's be honest, that's why if you're a Titans fan, you shouldn't be too down. I mean, I know that the final score yesterday was, it looked like a blowout. But let's be honest, in that third quarter, they had a chance. They go down and score. They have a chance to take the lead in the third quarter on the road, and then the turnovers just finally caught up with them. And, guys, I mean, there's a reason, no offense to Deontay Foreman and Dontrell Hilliard, as well as they played yesterday, there's a reason guys like that are available in November and October once the NFL season is underway. They have issues there. They're not the perfect running back. So, we saw those flaws come to bear yesterday. Maybe they were just so excited, having open space to run in like that, the ball security got just a little, but, they now can catch their breath. They can heal up. The prospect of guys coming back, and then, a break here for the coaching staff to do some self-scouting and maybe figure out what's going on, why they haven't gotten a sack, out of Jeffrey Simmons or Harold Landry each of the last 2 weeks, you know, ball security, things like that. They can work on the mistakes and the issues that have cropped up with the, you know, the overwhelming churn. 86 guys have played for this team this year, guys. That's an NFL record by two. And with the games left, you know, there's a possibility maybe it grows even further. And yet they are 8-4, third in the AFC. I mean, why wouldn't you be in a good mood?
Absolutely right. And talking about Ryan Tannehill, Teresa, we've already had one caller this morning ask if they should draft a quarterback coming up this year. People are going to do a lot of box score scouting and see, hey, 93 yards, the interception again. Ryan Tannehill, this was more of the same from him from last week. But Teresa, he completes his first eight passes. He was efficient in the first half, and then something changed in that second half as the Titans kind of had to throw the ball downfield and force more throws in the second half. I feel like Ryan Tannehill, aside from one interception and maybe up until that interception, played well enough for the Titans to win this game based on the way they ran the football. What did you make of his performance yesterday?
It was a good performance. Did it go off the rails? Sure, but no offense, but did you see who he's throwing to?
Right.
You know, it's great to have chemistry with a guy like Cody Hollister in August. It's a far different thing to be trying to complete passes to Cody Hollister, et cetera. You know, these guys, you know, Des Fitzpatrick, guys, out of the receivers yesterday, was the only receiver that available yesterday who was actually drafted by this team, okay? You know, Nick Westbrook-Akina, as much as he's developed and grown and has become a really nice, impressive receiver, you know, no offense, but, you know, he's not your starter. He wasn't your starter a month ago. He became your starter through attrition. And, you know, at a certain point, you can only, you know, it's tough to elevate some of the guys that you're working with. No offense to these guys. I mean, you know, they went out and did their very best. And, you know, Nick Westbrook-Akina, Chester Rogers, I mean, yes, should, you know, Ryan Tannehill have thrown a couple better balls yesterday? Yeah. But that's the one thing. It's easy enough to say, well, that ball should have been thrown here.
Yeah.
How do we not know that maybe the spot the receiver was running to was off? You know, maybe it was the receiver who was to blame. Maybe it's both sides of this. So, you know, Ryan Tannehill's numbers have not what they were last year, without a doubt. But, you know, trust me, people over in that building understand what Ryan Tannehill is doing for this team. You know, this is one of those seasons where the biggest number was the fact that they got to 8 wins before anybody else in the AFC, and they did hold the AFC's top seed there for a couple weeks, in large part because of what Ryan Tannehill was doing. You know, yesterday, you know, the offensive line really stepped up and helped Mo through that game and give him a hand. But we can't forget the fact that, you know, he's been sacked. You know, I haven't checked this morning's numbers, but he's been at the top as the most sacked quarterback for much of the season. You know, the turnovers are absolutely there. He's had more than, you know, shoot, I think he's close to having more through these last, you know, this season than the last 2 years combined. So, you know, are numbers different? Yeah. Is quarterback an area that they're going to have to look at in the offseason? Sure. But there's also, you know, depth at right tackle, cornerback, linebacker, you name it. So, you know, they're going to be fighting for those positions as well to figure out which is the big priority to fill. And for people saying, just go get a new quarterback, have you noticed the NFL? How many people have gone to the quarterback store and there's nobody there on the shelves?
Yeah. Teresa, I wish you hadn't asked, you know, how many times he's been sacked, because I actually had it pulled up. It's 33 times right now. It's number one in the league as far as sacks given up. And, of course, some of those might be run out of bounds plays, which I hate as an offensive lineman. But right now they're sitting at 33 sacks for the year as far as his offense goes. With that, though, this Titans team is 8-4. Really good position to be in. But as we look at the rest of the schedule, some of these teams are starting to actually kind of tick up a little bit. Of course, I don't necessarily mean like the Jags, but you got to look at the Steelers game and San Francisco and Miami game. You got to say to yourself, how confident are you still in as far as winning these games? Do you have the same feeling that you had a couple weeks ago when it comes down to the rest of the schedule?
Well, Ramon, that's a great question because, yeah, you know, the 49ers are showing sure signs of life. So are the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
I might point to who they played as well. I mean, Miami took advantage of a team yesterday. I mean, did you see Cam Newton's numbers?
Well, yeah, he got benched.
Yeah. Yeah, that 6.7 passer rating, you know, that got him pulled in that game, you know, that was just ugly. The thing that I have more confidence in is the fact that this team seems to be on target, knock on wood, throw the salt over your shoulder, of potentially healing up down the stretch. You know, and yes, we don't have any clue about Derrick Henry, but what we saw yesterday, this team could run the ball. You know, that whole identity of being able to run the ball, yeah. And got to feel fairly confident that once you start getting a Julio Jones back, a A.J. Brown back, and then Nick Westbrook-Ikhina becomes your, you know, and Chester Rogers are your third and fourth options rather than one, two, and three, then your pass game is going to be able to do a little bit better. And guess what? The more that they run the ball like they did yesterday, mm-hmm. guess what? That's going to give a little bit more breathing room up in the pass game because they're going to be focusing more on your run game. It's like they can still run it. Derrick Henry's not back there, but they can still do it. We got, you know, they may not put a ninth guy in the box, but they're certainly going to be giving more attention to that. So, you know, is the stretch tougher? Sure. But you know what? You know, the Titans, if they heal up, I mean, think about this. The coaching staff put together a plan. We're going to go up there and we're going to mostly run the ball against the number one scoring defense. And they did it, and they did it very, very well with a banged up roster. So give this time, you know, give this whole organization a chance to heal up, you know, maybe self-scout, do some fine tuning of things. And biggest thing is heal up, guys. This team, they've got essentially a three-game lead in the AFC South toward, you know, defending that title, having a home playoff game. And, you know, then we'll worry about in January about what that whole home playoff game means. But they're still in fairly decent position. It's not suddenly throw your jersey off and stomp off and get ready for, you know, for curling season at the Olympics.
Yeah. as far as this team goes going into this bye week, though, who or what position you need to step up more than anything? Of course, the easiest answer to say is Ryan Tannehill because, you know, like I said, I think it's 14 touchdowns, 13 interceptions on the year. But where's another focus point on this team that has to come out of this bye week just off and running?
Well, I'm going to lean toward the offensive line. I mean, they played much better yesterday. You know, Aaron Brewer, his second straight start in place of Nate Davis at right guard. But, you know, we saw them in 2019 get on a run where, you know, people may forget, but in 2019, sacks were a big problem then, and they were just having trouble running the ball. And then all of a sudden, things clicked with Ryan Tannehill in the mix as the starting quarterback. So, you know, get that offensive line. Protect your quarterback better. Give him an extra second to throw. And then, yes, you know, block like you did yesterday when particularly Roger Saffold and Taylor Lewan seemed to be just be smashing guys down the field. And then second, I'm going to put the defensive line. They've got to get pressure and sacks on the quarterback. You know, we saw how impressive this team was when Harold Landry and Jeffrey Simmons were just going off. And then third, guys, the receiving corps has to be better.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. We're talking to Teresa Walker, the Associated Press, here on 104.5 The Zone. Teresa, it feels like the way the Titans beat L.A. is going to be hard to duplicate because now you have a clear identity of what your defense does. And teams are now game planning to stop Harold Landry and to stop Jeffrey Simmons. But to me, the biggest difference was when Bud Dupree went out and Denico Autry had to move outside. That clearly is not his most effective position. The Titans have not replaced what they have in him on the inside when Autry has to move to the outside. Do you feel like that's made a difference in the way this defense has played?
Oh, absolutely. And then think about the fact that, you know, yesterday you didn't have Ola and, Adeniyi. That's how I say it. I know I'm probably butchering the young man's last name, but you didn't have Ola. I mean, you know, and you've got Kevin Strong, I think it was, getting on the field. So, you know, that's another area that's also been kind of quietly hit by injuries that have been easy to ignore because, Simmons and Landry have been so very productive already this year. So, you know, we've seen what this line can look like when Autry is in the normal spot where they like him. But, you know, when Bud Dupree gets back, and how ironic that, you know, hopefully he's able to come back and be available on December 19th in Pittsburgh because, man, you know, that's his team. You know, that's the team that, you know, let him go so they could focus on other guys. And, you know, right now, you know, no offense, Ramon, but Pittsburgh's a little bit of a hot mess right now.
Oh, you can say it. It's all good. I'm a realist things.
Exactly. So, you know, that's a game that is as daunting as it looked when the schedule came out. It's going to be a tough game because it's the Steelers. It's on the road. But guess what? You just went into New England with, you know, 14 hands tied behind your back because you're playing guys that you just, again, signed a few days ago. You're as thin as you've been all season, and you still were competitive in that game until too many turnovers just put you under the water. So, yeah, I am not one of those who's ready now. I'll caution you guys with this. I am a Cubs fan, so I tend toward optimism. But I do see the pieces of this team that, you know, and reasons to think that they can pull this. You know, it feels like they've crashed into the ditch on a Saturday night after a bender, but, you know, there's reasons to see that they can, you know, pull this thing back out and go where they want, where Titans fans hope they can get to.
It looks like they've crashed into a ditch after a Broadway bender. It looks that bad at times right now.
I appreciate it just being a ditch.
Right. Hey, well, Teresa, Mac Jones obviously is going to be the talk of the NFL today, and rightfully so. Career high in yardage for him at 310 yards, 9.7 yards per attempt. It's not a guy they ask to do a whole lot, but he manages this offense so well and just doesn't make a lot of mistakes. What did you make of him and his kind of rookie of the year kind of performance yesterday against this Titans defense?
Well, it was impressive, but you know, did you see how much time he had to sit back there and pick them apart?
Absolutely.
I mean, he was just standing there looking, and you know, he was getting sacked a lot earlier this season, and the Patriots figured out how to protect him. And you know, and he's a kid that he gets the ball out quickly. He can make those decisions and get to his reads. But you know, guys, he had time enough to throw on some of those plays that, well, my right shoulder's busted. I can't throw anything right now, but I might have been able to complete some of those passes. He had so much time. And if the Patriots keep protecting and giving him that time, then, yeah, he's your offensive rookie of the year.
Teresa, we're going to choose a little bit more pain, potentially, if you want to. This Oklahoma coaching departure has brought up the conversation of, you know, of course, Josh Heupel and Tennessee and everything else surrounding that. How do you view the college side of what's going on right now with the coaches carousel that's about to happen? And how do you feel about Heupel at Tennessee? Of course, him being an Oklahoma alum, won national championship there, Heisman run-up, all the things that go into that. How are you viewing this situation from your side of it?
Well, I've already received some messages saying, good luck on your upcoming coaching search. but I know that for Tennessee fans, it's got to be shades of, deja vu with Lane Kiffin and USC, while maybe not directly stealing a coach as they did back then, and totally setting this last decade into, you want to talk about a ditch? You know, this is the Grand Canyon that the Vols have been in for the last decade. But here's the good news. The buyout for Josh Heupel's contract is at $8 million. Now, are there a lot of rich people in Oklahoma who could write that check without a blink? Sure. But is that his home? Absolutely. But, so at this point, it's college football, guys. I wish I could say nothing's going to happen. He's going to be the Tennessee Vols coach next season. But, the one thing we've learned is nothing can, anything you can imagine can happen, because it simply does. So I'm going to keep my fingers crossed. Got to think Danny White is trying to figure out what to do to make sure that this job remains more attractive than anything else right now. But, guys, I'd like to say that, no, he's going to stay here because of that buyout. $8 million is not inconsequential. But let's just stay tuned.
Teresa, quickly on the way out, Vanderbilt season ending with the loss to Tennessee. Kind of over that they were better than my expectations against Tennessee in kind of a sleepy environment in Neyland Stadium on Saturday. How do you evaluate Clark Lee after this first season? How do you evaluate that performance to end that season in Team 1 that Vanderbilt is calling it on Saturday against the Vols?
I would like to see Vandy and those coaches be that aggressive maybe from the start of next season. Yeah. What they did against Ole Miss and Tennessee to keep those games close, to give, to squeeze out more offense than they'd had all season. And while I know he keeps saying Ken Seals is the starter over there, what we saw out of Mike Wright these last two games, I don't know how you don't open that competition back up. Mike Wright is a guy who can run and throw. Seals may be a more polished passer, sure, but hello, it's 2021, about to be 22. You know, the game is changed. You look how effective Hendon Hooker is, Matt Corral. I mean, being able to run is a huge help to your offense, but and I'll just say this, Vanderbilt, he took over a program that they're going to have to be patient, okay? I know they're hoping to start breaking ground in 2022 on, the whole thing to get the stadium improvements going. But, the football program, you're going to have to be even more patient because, no offense, but Derek Mason left. You know, it's not the program Derek Mason took over from James Franklin. It is sure not the program that James Franklin took over from Bobby Johnson. It's a lot closer to what Bobby Johnson took over from Woody Woodenhofer.
Teresa Walker has been our guest here on JMart and Ramon. You can find her on Twitter at Teresa M. Walker. Always appreciate the time, Teresa. Good to talk to you.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, Teresa Walker on the Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline. When we come back, we finish out the show, and I'll tell you more about what I'm doing the rest of the week.
Hey.
This is my last time on this show this week.
We think
Jonathan Schaefer might cut my mic off.
We do not care.
Wow. Okay. Well, maybe I'll just walk out of the studio. Find out if I'm here next on 104.5 The Zone.
Damn.
Final hour of the show here on 104.5 The Zone. It is JMart and Ramon, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Fun show. I've been enjoying it out with you, hanging out with Ramon Foster, and occasionally Jonathan Schaefer. We'll bowling back in for JMart.
F*** you, Aaron Rodgers.
Thank you.
He said thank you.
Lots of reaction. Tennessee and New England.
Yeah.
Vols beat up on Vandy. We got our one Vandy call. It's one more than I expected.
You asked for all the fans to call in.
I did.
And they did.
They'll tweet me last week on Thanksgiving, but they won't call in.
It's easy to be tougher behind the keys.
So I will be the Will Bowling Show Tuesday through Friday, 10 to 1, rest of the week.
Hey, now.
Sit on it and spin.
That's correct. The lineup for this week, me and Kayla Anderson coming up tomorrow. After hosting with Schaefer and I Wednesday.
What, Kayla, all week?
On Tuesday.
Oh, it's tomorrow.
Tuesday. Wednesday, it'll be me and Austin Stanley.
Hey, now.
A to Z Sports. Thursday and Friday, it becomes me and Lucas Pinzi.
I knew it.
Yep.
The dynamic duo.
Yes, sir.
This shy ain't no joke.
I still am so confused as to how you got that. So confused.
I'm not good.
He's a magician.
How's bragging camp, Schaefer?
How does it be?
Who's that?
Wesley Woodyard.
Oh, okay. Lumberjack.
Yeah.
Lumberjack's got a nice little falsetto.
It was a nice little falsetto, huh?
I'm logging off of my life right now.
That's after we beat Kentucky.
Yep.
Oh, so that's true. Woodyard, too. I thought that was just a caller.
No.
Up.
That was Ola.
Some little breaking news per Adam Schefter. No. Uh-oh. Tennessee fans isn't about Josh Heupel leaving.
Whew, made me do the Denzel GIF.
The last time a Tennessee coach left was when I was on the air, actually. Now that I say that.
Leave, Will. Since you've been here, the Titans have lost two.
Flex.
You sound like every girl I've ever dated. Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy. Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy out for Thursday's game due to testing positive for COVID.
I've told you not to be self-deprecating. The problem is that's a fact.
The Cowboys are going through it right now. Did y'all see some of the reaction video?
Really hurtful. No, I didn't.
The reaction video is the Cowboys fans losing.
Oh.
It was one little kid, man.
Sure,
I saw.
Well.
He just kept saying over and over, I hate the Raiders. And I'm thinking to myself, the Raiders had nothing to do with your hell. It was one dude that it was a Thanksgiving, of course, a Thanksgiving game.
Uh-huh.
One guy told somebody that invited him over that the Cowboys lost, so your food stinks.
Huh.
You're not a good cook. You need to stick to doing hair. It got bad.
Oh, wow.
Cowboys fans, when they lose in prime time,
they always take it well.
Whew.
It's good content for us.
Yeah.
Great content for
us. And he took his wine that he brought. He took the bottle of wine that he brought to the Thanksgiving dinner.
There were way too many Cowboys fans in Knoxville going to UT.
Was it really?
Yeah, but there's a lot of Cowboys fans in this region. There's a lot of Steelers fans.
I've got a buddy I ran track with at Tennessee. He would love that I'm flaming him right now. Tennessee football fan, North Carolina basketball fan, New York Yankees fan, Dallas Cowboys fan. That's a real person. One of my best friends, actually.
I mean, do we got to go through J-Mark's teams?
Hey, big win for his Broncos yesterday.
That was a good win for them. That was. For them, that was a good win.
My brother was a Utah Jazz fan growing up.
Never heard anybody
Utah
say that.
Jazz fan.
Karl Malone, John
growing up
Stockton.
In Nashville.
I mean, in the
Mark
90s.
Mark Eaton, baby.
In the 90s, yeah.
Jeff Hornacek.
My NBA team's whoever plays at the Grizzlies. I'm just kidding. No, I'm a
Your hate
fan.
For Memphis. You and Slay have to get on the air and work this out.
No, we're just going to make it bigger.
Oh, that's true.
Coming up December 18th, man. Slay and I are going to have a day downtown Nashville.
Okay. Oh, that's right, because Memphis is coming to town.
Well, congratulations to this weekend, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. little TAA state championships. The game we had Friday, by the way,
bonkers. Yeah.
52-56.
Wowzers.
Page was down 17 three times. Congratulations to Fred J. Page High School. Headed to the state title for the first time ever.
Against Powell?
Yes, against Walter Nolan and Powell.
Yeesh. By the way, that team, of course, I've been doing my research on those. They got like four stars on that team, it feels like.
VFL Marlon Walls, defensive coordinator.
Is he really? Marlon's there?
Mm-hmm.
That's why
Walter Nolan went there.
Sure, and don't get me started. Okay, but yeah.
because he was his coach, I believe, at St. Benedict.
Yeah, he was.
He moved from St. Benedict to Powell, and that's Walter Nolan wasn't moving to Knoxville because he wanted to go to UT. He was moving to Knoxville to play for Marlon Walls.
Also, I'll be covering the Hampton and Martin Westview game.
You and me both, brother.
Me and you, yeah, and Babs. I'm doing it with
Don Davenport
and Lucas.
So we've got – there's two different broadcasts of Ty Simpson state championship game. And four people from 104.5 The Zone will be broadcasting.
And what are those four people? Well, no, yeah. Well, Ron will be there too. Five.
Five. There you go.
He might be in the booth. I don't know if he's going to be broadcasting it. But
Perfect. Also,
all UT people covering this Alabama
kid. Yes, sir.
If he's in the booth, and that booth ain't got no roof.
That roof, bingo.
The booth ain't got no roof.
This Hampton
team. It's my turn!
Yeah, straight up. That Hampton team is pretty good. Hampton is like in the middle of like East Tennessee mountains, man.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the area, the region. They actually get covered, I think, by Bristol News because they're so close to Tri-Cities,
I guess. They're near Elizabethton.
Yeah.
Another team that is heading to the state title, coached by Jason Witten's brother, Sean.
Yeah, Sean. Shout out to him, man.
4A state title.
Yeah, nice.
Yes, sir.
There's some good matchups this weekend as far as championship games here in the state. A lot of big prospects, too, Will.
Oakland and Summit is going to be terrific.
Wow.
And we've seen Summit twice this year.
Mm-hmm.
Oakland number 9 in the country, according to USA Today. I think Summit might win that game.
Summit might win it?
Destin and Keaton Wade are as good as I've seen. Destin Wade, their quarterback, has rushed for over 2,000 yards.
Wow.
There's your little high school football minute. Coming up for the week.
I know they gave it to Hendersonville High this weekend.
Yeah, they did.
I was on TV. I saw part of that.
Yeah.
Been a fun show.
Yes.
Enjoyed hanging out with you. Enjoyed hanging out with the fam here on J-Mart and Ramon. Back at it tomorrow at 6 a.m. Top 7 and bottom 3 in the NFL. Ramon Foster will give you all of the analysis you need for that. Enjoyed it. Appreciate y'all having me. Buck Rising Show is coming up next. That becomes the Will Bowling Show starting tomorrow. Fun times. Ramon, tell the people what they need to know.
And, well, one thing, your team, the Titans, are still 8-4. The Vols are 7-5. You're above 500. But never forget, Twitter fingers and your mic are always hot.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.